Rabbi David Eisenberg.
Are we all good? Yeah, okay, all good. Right. Good morning, gentlemen. Are we working?
Yeah.
Is that fine? Here? I'll pick up at one point. Okay. I was busy preparing my share last night, and Adav Amariv, I was preparing in Shai Motcha, and after Mariv, I bumped into Reb Moshe Kramer. He says to me, I'm just back from a week in Holland. I said, you're back from a week in Holland. I guess you've been to Yachikala. He goes, yeah, I've been to Yachikala. It was very nice. Rafalk was there. Other Rabbonu was ganz geschmack. I said, oh, Rafalk was there. What did he speak about? He said to me, I'm here Lakum. I said, oive, I was also supposed to speak about Lakum. My understanding is, Rav Shlomo, you've been, so I apologize if you have most of the Marmikomis already. But we'll just have to... We'll have to manage. We're going to be very, very basic today. Maybe in a follow-up share, we'll be able to give a bit more of a deeper discussion. But starting with the following, I remember as a child, you grow up with this notion, there's such a thing called a Shabbos Goy. And you can ask a Shabbos Goy what you want to. In certain places it's easy to find a Shabbos Goy, in certain places it's very hard to find a Shabbos Goy. I remember in Yerushalayim, we were in Mir Yeshiva, and one Friday night, I saw the boiler was on. You know, in order to heat up the water, you either have a Dud Shemesh, you have the sun way of heating it, and if you're in the winter when there's not enough sun, so there's a button you can push, and it turns on the boiler and it heats up the water. Now, another dira that I was in, they had a boiler that wasn't so good, and that kept it on for a little bit too long, although they had been warned by the Baldira that you shouldn't keep on your boiler for too long because it's going to burst. We woke up in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, Yushami lady is standing there knocking on her door. Somebody at one point or another had to open up, put on a dressing gown, open up, and she says, from your boiler there's hot water leaking all over the place. It was very dangerous because there was little kids walking around, and the mamish scalding water was coming out of the boiler being spritzed everywhere. So I was worried about the boiler. I said, you know, it's on a ganzen Shabbos. You're going to put it on Friday night. You're going to keep it on to Matzah Shabbos. If I had such an experience with another boiler, what are we going to do with this boiler? So we had tremendous mazel, or siyata d'shmaya, when we used to live in Yerushalayim in my first dira. I moved into this dira, and as bochum, you don't know who's who. But we had somebody next door by the name of Yadler. Anybody heard of Rav Moshe Yadler? Mechaber, Sefer, Mar HaShabbos, four volumes. An internationally renowned poisik on Hilchos Shabbos. So we once had a Bochum Dira meal, and we decided, let's call in the next door neighbor, who'll be our guest speaker, so to speak. You don't realize it's Nishbukovity, but he was very happy because Nebuchadnezzar, he waited many, many, many years for children. He only had one daughter. It looked like his granddaughter. He looked almost like an elder yid with a big gray beard, and he had a daughter. She was about 5-6 years old when we were there. He went every day to Damna the Kaisel, and Baruch Hashem, at his later stages of life, he had a daughter. So he was very excited to come over to be able to speak to us, and he sat down. He says, anything in Hilchos Shabbos you can tell me. So one of my friends says to him, Nu, how do you make tea on Shabbos? He goes, oh, Yevaldi, he was very excited. I only realized later, if you look at the Ma'ar HaShabbos, Chelik Beis, he's about 200 pages of making tea. Literally. So, Baruch Hashem, he didn't keep us there all night long, by Vesikin. He's like, and now we come to the Shailas of, Toichen. You're like, no, I don't even want to hear anymore. But we went to him and we asked him, we had to go find, at the time I had to go into Meir Sharim, they used to bring in a goy. A Shabbos guy, they had like a little hole in the wall, and this guy used to stay there over Shabbos, and he was the Shabbos guy. He was hired to be the Shabbos guy. So Kehillahs that literally hire a Shabbos guy because there's no goyim around. Over here we've Baruch Hashem, we've had children while we were here, and then two of our children were born on Shabbos. Well, one of them was born Matzah Shabbos, one of them was born on Shabbos. But we had to, two cases, I had to go in the car into the hospital. So it wasn't a big deal. You just go to your next door neighbor, you knock on my next door neighbor, they know the drill already, what would you want? Yeah. Although I will say there are some goyim that are better and there's some goyim that are worse at this. We had our neighbor next door wasn't there, but we have another neighbor 2-3 doors down. And I knocked on the neighbor. What had happened was, is my daughter, her long hair got stuck on a button that she had in her dress on the top over here. And she postured, she couldn't get the dress off because it was stuck to her hair. And by pulling it, you'd have a problem of toilish. You'd be pulling out the hair. So we had a shayla, and we went to ask, and we might speak about that later, about the psak within this whole thing. But I went to, and we went to speak to our next door neighbor 2-3 doors down, knocked on, the Goyisha fellow came over, and obviously you don't want to tell him what to do, you want to be miramis to him. So he comes inside, and I show him, you know, my daughter's hair, and the button, and we can't get it off. And he looks at it, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Yep, I think thou'll need a scissors." I looked at him and I said, like, I didn't call you here as a consultant. I've seen scissors also before. You know, that's Nishkin. It's not a genius thing to say that it needs a scissors. It's Shabbos. He goes, oh, you want me to do it? I'm like, Shkoyach, thank you very much. You thought I brought in a consultant from 3 doors down the line to tell me about these things that go like this, that they cut hair. But well, we can speak about that later when we speak about the halachas. But I want to just discuss a little bit about Amir La'akum. The halachas are spread out through different halachim in Shulchan Aruch, so you won't find them to be very, very straight. And also, you can't always learn dava mitoich dava. You can't always understand one thing and say, if it applies over here, it applies over there as well, which we'll see later on. I'll give you one example, then I want to move into exactly into the sugya. I remember, this goes back now, 7 and a bit years ago, my shver, Oliver Shalom, needed an operation. He was having an operation on his hip. He had one on the hip, and then after about 10-15 years, the hip went, and he needed to do the operation again. And the operation was set, as it happens, the first operation was set sometime in August. They couldn't do it in August. They pushed it off to November, which meant that he never walked properly again afterwards, because those extra 3 months of the bone grinding against the bone meant that they weren't able to really operate on him properly. And the operation, but we couldn't push it off, it was set for Friday. And my wife said, this operation was in Salford Royal, and my wife said, you know, it's Friday, then it's going to be Shabbos. I don't want my father to have this operation. He was already elderly at the time. He was already, at the time, he was probably 75. I don't want him to have this operation with, and then wake up and not have anybody there. I want somebody to be there for the operation, to be able to look after him and to take care of him. Now at the time, I had just started my job at the shul, and you know, when you just start, you're still in your probationary period, it's not so easy, every little bit makes a difference. So maybe if the same thing happened today, things would look very, very different. I just called the president and say, look, my shver's having an operation, I'm not coming in the shul on Shabbos morning, I'm sorry, this is just the way it is. And they'd say, fine. But when you're 2-3 weeks into a job, people don't say fine so quickly. You know, maybe mechitesi. You just showed up and you already want to, you know, it's like the people that start work in September. People told me, lawyers in America that start work in September, when you get so little holiday, and already within 2 weeks they're taking off 2 days for Rosh Hashanah, 1 day for Yom Kippur, 2 days for Sukkot. You know, they look at you, they think, Meshuga. So somebody says to me, he says, well, my wife wants to stay there, but she says, I'm not walking home from Salford Royal in the middle of the night. A woman on her own to walk home from Hope Hospital on a Friday night, dangerous. So what should we do? I said, well, what should we do? You can't do it. So she said, maybe I should sleep there, but if she sleeps there, even then she was worried walking in the morning and I wouldn't be able to make it to shul. So somebody says to me, you call up somebody and ask her, Shaila, maybe your wife can take a car home. I said, why should we have to take a car home? She's not having an operation. I said, yeah. No, call up. So I picked up the phone at the time and I called Rav Horowitz, and I said to him, I told him the shaila. I said, can my wife go home? My father-in-law was having the operation. He asked me a few questions and he says, yep, she'll ask a non-Jew to call a taxi first, she can take a taxi home. So we called up my shvig and we said, oh, Baruch Hashem, we've called up Rav Horowitz. And Rav Horowitz said that she could take a taxi home if she needed to. She needed to stay for the operation. She could stay for the operation and then take a taxi home from Sofer Royal. So my shvig said, oh, very good. So if she can do it, then why should she do it? Then let me do it. Okay. So picked up the phone again. I wasn't gonna just, you know, decide on my own. Picked up the phone again. I called Rav Horowitz, asked him about my shvigger. Nine. Better not. Yeah? Now, why my wife yes and why my shvigger not? We'll get to that. We'll have to discuss that. We'll get to the crux of everything, because it was put together. He put together a ganze heter over here. However, you see that just because asking a goy for one specific thing is mutter doesn't mean asking a goy for another thing is mutter. You have to be very careful. And even the Mishnah Berurah, which we'll see soon, also says you shouldn't be medama dava the dava when it comes to amir la'akum. You have to know the halachas. You have to know them well. What is mutter? What is also? Only then can you go ahead and then can you understand it. So let's discuss. There are different things that you can speak about within Amir La'akum. I'm just going to mention the few things, and then we're going to get into the sugya. Number one is what's called Amira and something else called Remes. You can ask the guy straight out. You could ask the guy on Shabbos. Before Shabbos, you can be Meramis to the guy. You can just give the guy a hint and hope that he'll get it. As we said before, some are better at picking up the hint, and some will come and tell you that it needs a scissors. Yeah? Number two, we can speak about the difference between a malacha d'orais and a malacha d'rabbanon. What are you asking the guy to do? Are you asking the guy to do a malacha d'orais for you, or are you asking the guy to do a malacha d'rabbanon for you? It'll make a difference. Number three, which you mentioned before, asking Shabbos, asking before Shabbos, asking during the week. Number four, also the shaila will become about getting hanof from the malacha that the guy has done for you. The guy has done something for you, be'isser or be'heter. If it's be'heter, fine, okay, but be'isser. So then, what do? Are you allowed to get a malacha hanof from the guy? If you're not allowed to get hanof from the guy, when are you not allowed to get hanof from the guy? How can you do it? What can you do? Etc., etc. And the question also, which will make a difference, is who did you ask for? Were you asking for a choyla? Was there a sakana? Was it for a child? Was it for an elderly person? Was it just for you? Was there a hefse meruba? You know, there's all these things to contend with as well. And then, when you put the whole thing together, and then you start getting some of the rules, some of the halachas, and we'll try to see what we can put together. So let's see. We'll start with the general halacha. Midrabonon is also to ask a goya to do something for you on Shabbos. You're not allowed to ask a guy to do something on Shabbos. If you look at the sugya, it will be brought up twice in the Shabbos. One is in Shabbos, in the Masechet Shabbos, Kuf Nun Amud Aleph, that we say a person is lo yisko adam poelim b'Shabbos. A person is not allowed to hire workers on Shabbos. V'lo yoyma adam l'chaver l'yisko l'poelim. And a person cannot tell his friend to rent poelim for him on Shabbos. So the question is, what's the difference between him and his friend? One of the answers the Gemara gives is Amir La'akum. So we see over there, that's one case. Another instance is on Shabbos, Taf Kuf Chof Aleph, Amud Aleph. There you will find the following halacha. Nochri Shabbos L'chabos. Let's say you have a fire, Chas V'Shalom, and a guy is coming to put out the fire. Ein Oimim Lo'ikabe. The Alta Chabe. You're not allowed to say either put it out or don't put it out, because you have no halacha of shvisa, you know, on the guy. But you see over here, again, you're not allowed to ask the guy to put out the fire, even though the guy is coming, you're not allowed to ask him to do it. Why do we have this isser of Amir La'akum? So there are different reasons brought in the Rishonim. Rambam says, this is in Rambam, in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Vav, Halacha Aleph, makes Shabbos cheap in people's eyes. Just does. Because, imagine if I couldn't do things on Shabbos, but I could ask a guy to do anything I wanted to on Shabbos. You could run an entire empire on Shabbos. You could run a business on Shabbos. You could do whatever you want to on Shabbos. Saying, so I can't run a business, so somebody comes in and says, sir, what should we do? We're selling X, Y, and Z. Sell for this price. What should we do? You call up this one. You send an email to that one. You could sit in your geschäft, and you can run an entire shop by just giving people orders and not doing anything. So that doesn't sound right, doesn't look right, doesn't feel right. What's it going to do to Shabbos? Similar, I think Rav Moshe even has a svara like that about a Shabbos clock. He says you can run big things, set everything on a timer, and you can run your entire business on a timer. You can run your factory on a timer. So he's not a big fan of Shabbos clocks either. But you know, in general, I think the accepted psak is that we do end up using Shabbos clock. Most people use Shabbos clocks. But when it comes to Amir Akum, says the Rambam, it's going to take away from the covered Shabbos. It's going to bring down, downgrade the mitzvah in your eyes. We'll see. There are some nafkaminas in the few reasons, but we're not going to go through all the nafkaminas. Rashi, in Shabbos Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, says that he becomes your shliach. Becomes like you're doing it. So in the same way, you're not allowed to do something. If you ask a non-Jew to do it for you, and he becomes like you've done it. Okay? Pardon, you said, in this case, it seems that there is. Rashi is somewhere else, and Avodah Zarah says that because we have an Israel, it's called Mimtsoy Chavtsecha V'Dabadova, that you cannot say something, you cannot say Dvar Masurim on Shabbos. So that's enough kaminas. What happens if you don't say it on Shabbos? And if it's not on Shabbos, then there's no Israel Mimtsoy Chavtsecha V'Dabadova. During the week, if I ask someone to do something, then there's no Israel Dabadova. What, today I'm not allowed to ask you to do something on Shabbos? There's no Dabadova today. Of course, I'm not allowed to ask you to do something on Shabbos anyway. But the Maisa, but there's no Israel Dabadova. Another nafkamina comes, and this is a Gemara in Bava Metzia, but we pass him l'chumra. The Gemara in Bava Metzia asks the following question. Ibarlehu, ma'u sheyoyma odom lenochri chasoyim porosi v'doishbo. There's halacha, we all know, called loisachsam shabedishoy, right next to the halacha of Malkus. It's the prototype lav for Malkus, that you're not allowed to close your animal's mouth while your animal is threshing. So the animal will be threshing and we want to bend down and eat some of the food that it would be threshing on. And you're not allowed to ask, you're not allowed to close the animal's mouth. It is also for you to do that whilst it's threshing. So what about asking a goy to do that? Are you allowed to ask a non-Jew to close your animal's mouth while it's, or close his animal's mouth while it's threshing? So what's the kasha? Mi amina, do we say ki amina namir lenochri shvus hanamin leinyan Shabbos? Maybe this whole issue amir la'akum, this whole issue of telling a non-Jew to do something he's not allowed to do, that's a hard Shabbosika halacha, which is issa skila. Aval chasima, which is only issa la'avlai, oydim aloshna. Is there a halacha called amir la'akum in other instances? Are you allowed to ask a goy to do something else for you? Meaning, okay, I understand, I'm not allowed to ask a goy on Shabbos to do certain things for me. What about something that Shabbos is very chomer, as the Gemara says, it's an issur skila. Fine, I understand. What about something else? I'll give you a very practical example that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to pass, and that is also. I looked it up yesterday. This happens. A lot of people that buy animals want to have their animals neutered. They don't want, especially if you buy a female animal, you have a dog, and suddenly the dog has a litter. You didn't want another six puppies. You just wanted that one dog for whatever reason. You want the dog for protection, you want the dog for companionship, you need the dog, whatever the reason you have the dog. But the nicer, you wanted that dog, you didn't want all those puppies that came with it. But what are you going to do? A dog walks around, and dogs are dogs. And from one minute to the next, your dog could be carrying a litter. So what people do is they take their dogs, and other animals as well, and they have them neutered. Now the halacha is a pasuk in the Torah. Let's just get a chumash. Pashas Emor, right before we start the laning of the Yomim Tovim, Shari Kesev, says the following pasuk: Umoch v'chosus v'nartzuk v'charus. These are all sorts of different things that you could do to an animal, ruining its reproductive organs. Loisachu v'lashem. You're not allowed to bring an animal that has that sort of blemish as a carbon. And you're not allowed to do them in your land. Which seems to say, at first only, that a yid is not allowed to take an animal and neuter an animal. But a non-Jew, why should a non-Jew not be allowed to do it? Say, the Rambam says it in Hilchos Yisurei Bia, and Shulchan Aruch Pasuk said also, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to neuter an animal for you either. So you see that there's an Issa Amir L'Nochri, how people get around it and how people buy. If it's been done already by the non-Jewish vet or the non-Jewish owner before you bought it, and then you bought it that way, it's not also to buy it that way. But if you bought an animal that wasn't neutered, you're not allowed to go to a vet to have the animal neutered. So if anybody is buying pets anytime soon, you know, have your idea. You've been warned. Okay? Didn't think that was so negay over here. But you know, the nice, that's the halacha. But what we see is, there is an Isra Amir La'akum, not only for Shabbos, but we pass in the Isra Amir La'Nochri is for any Isra. If you're not allowed to do something, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do it for you. I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I think there might be an issue with Makif and Ikav. Let's say you have your child at the barber, and you've asked the guy to cut the pace in a way that they would be too short, that there would be an Isra of you'd have a problem because you've asked the guy to do it for you. So the guy is your shliach. If we go with Rashi's pshat that the guy is your shliach, he's your shliach to cut. And the halacha is both the person who's had the payas taken off and the person who cuts are both over in ishalav. So there you have an issue as well. So we see that there are issues of Amir La'akum, not only a Shabbos dikei sir, the issue of Amir La'akum spreads itself much further than that. Okay? Pardon?
It's like you did it.
My understanding is what he means with that is it's like then therefore it's like you did it. The guy is not there for the guy. No, the whole part of Ein Sheikh L'Dvara is that when we say if you tell another yid to do something that's awesome and he did it, then you say to him, why'd you do it? But if I tell a guy to neuter an animal, there's no issue for a guy to neuter an animal. At least according to the different, I think it seems from the version that there's no issur for the guy himself to do it. There's only an issur for me to ask a guy to do it for me. Okay. So for the guy, one second, let me just finish. So the guy, I've asked the guy to do something that the guy is 100% allowed to do. I am not allowed to ask the guy to do it. So then there's a din shlichus. Because for him there's no issur. The whole shlichus adraver doesn't work because I say, you shouldn't have done it. But I can't tell this guy you shouldn't have done it. What, the guy shouldn't have turned on the light on Shabbos? Why not? Guy can turn on light on today till tomorrow. He's sitting in his house up and down all day long. So therefore there's no issur. So there's no problem. So therefore the shlichus will work. Yes, please.
Those oxen that we eat today.
Yes.
And if it comes from a Yiddish farm, who does it then?
I don't know. You'd have to ask the, speak to the people that run farms. I don't know. Why, are they all neutered? I didn't know that. Okay, you'd have to ask. You'd have to ask the farmers.
There's only a bull and a cow.
Right.
And this is
a
zucha that's been
cultivated. I don't know. You'd have to ask people that own, get in touch with Shomar Chorobashkin. He used to own, what's it called? Now you can get in touch with him. He used to own a shechita plant. You can ask him if it works or if it doesn't work, you know? I'm not sure if he'll get back to you so quickly, but you know, that's a question you could ask him. Right, weiter. Okay. Malachas de'iraisa. There comes the question of Malacha de'iraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah, or the Shulchan Aruch, sorry, speaks about this halacha in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph Sivvav. When it comes to halachas of Mila, Simen Shin Lamed Aleph is Dina Mila B'Shabbos, and in Sivvav he says the following. And we're going to see another rule over there anyway. Machshiri Mila, if you have not actual item that you need, not that you need for the mila, but machshiri mila, something that is going to help you do the mila. Shev shalas reisim erev Shabbos, something you could have done on erev Shabbos. Einam doichem es haShabbos, they're not doichem Shabbos. Lefichoch, for example, im lehevi izem lemila, if you forgot to bring the knife for the mila, erev Shabbos, lehevi erev Shabbos, you can't bring it on Shabbos. Even if there's only Nisr Rabbanon, because Chachamim were machmir on what they said, because Hitzah could be a Kares, so therefore they were machmir over there. Now, what about asking a guy to do it for you? To ask a guy to bring you your Mila knife which you've left behind at home, to bring it for you on Shabbos. If the Isser is only going to be an Isser Derabonon, then you can tell a guy to do it and he does it. Because over here we'll see it's a Mokka Mitzvah. Shlosh to Shlosh Mokka Mitzvah. Pardon? No. So that Mishnah Berurah speaks about, now again, let me finish the Shulchan Aruch, let me come back to your point in the Mishnah Berurah. When I make all the points, I'll come back to your point. Okay? Question about bringing the baby to the knife and the knife to the baby. Okay, so if it's the if it's something that Yisrael does, when Yisrael does it, it's only the Rabbanon, you're allowed to ask the guy to do it for you. So if it's something that the Yisrael is not allowed to do it because it's min haTorah, being Issa deRaisa, then lo yoimalein Yehudi laAsoisa, then you're not allowed to ask the guy to do it for you. If there's an Issa deRaisa, you are not allowed to ask the guy to do it for you. Even, which we see over here, in a case of a mitzvah. Because you have a mitzvah over here of Mila. You have to be mal your child, and nevertheless, you're not allowed to ask the goy to do an Issa deraisa for you in the instance of Mila. Now, let me just bring you the Mishnah Berurah about what you asked before. Sivkot and Chof, in the Mishnah Berurah over here, Shin Lamed Aleph, Sivkot and Chof, speaks about should you bring the Tinoik in a chotz or sheinim or revis to the knife, or the knife to the tinoik. And in the end he says, it is better to bring the knife to the tinoik, because if you bring the baby to the knife, you'll have to bring the baby there. You have to bring it back. Whereas if you bring the knife, you bring the knife, you use it once, and then you've only had to carry once. So if you have the choice of asking a guy to do two malachas, a choice of asking a guy to do one malacha, says the Mishnah Berurah, that you should better bring the knife to the baby, which is a one-off, you'll ask the guy to bring it, and then that'll be mutter. Okay? As I stated in Mishnah Berurah over here, so that's the... what people were serving on to bring babies or not to bring babies, that's, you know, different shayla, different shmuz, you can discuss that at a different time. Nowadays, where there's an Eruv, so there's even more tzad to be made, so that even if you were to say, well, I don't use the Eruv personally, fine, you don't use the Eruv personally, but to ask a guy to carry in an Eruv where you really already have an Eruv, you know, there already it starts getting a little bit, I think at that point, most people would say that at least for a guy, it's good enough to, you know, the Eruv is at least good enough for a guy to carry. I think we can all agree on that one. Ronnie's not here today, so I didn't have to offend him. But, you know, at least for that much, you'll be happy to say that, you know, that good the Eruv is for sure. Right? And so therefore, today maybe it might be different. But, you know, in general, Mishnah Berurah says, you bring the knife to the baby, not the baby to the knife. Okay. That is what we bring over here. Then the Ramah writes, V'ayin lo'el simen shin zayin. See earlier what I spoke about in simen shin zayin. But the real place over there is to speak about is a really simen reish ayin base. Simen reish ayin base is a different, reish ayin vav, sorry, my mistake. Dine ner shehid leken yud b'Shabbos. If a guy lights a light for you on Shabbos, what's the halacha? You have a guy that light something for you on Shabbos. Can you use that fire? Can you not use the fire? So in general, the halacha is, and we'll come back to this afterwards again when we speak about Hano. Sif Aleph says, "Ein Yehudi shehidlik esaneh b'shvil Yisrael, osur lakoy, lafilu mishlo yehudlik b'shviloi." A guy who lit a light for a Jew, you're not allowed to get any Hano from it. Which would mean you're not allowed to get any Hano from a malacha that a guy did for you on Shabbos. We will have to fully define that later. Then, in Sif Beis, Reish Ayin Vav Sif Beis, he speaks about what happens if there's more goyim around than yidden. There's a whole bunch of non-Jews around, and it's dark, and they turn on the light. So who do they turn on the light for? So we'll say there's a rov goyim there, so turn on rov goyim, so you can use the light as well. If there's rov yidden, you're not allowed to use the light. If it's 50-50, again, you'll have a problem. Yeah? Unless you know for sure that he lit it for himself, if the guy for sure turned on the light for himself, then for sure you'd be allowed to use it, because then the guy turned it on for himself. Says the Ramah, and here's an important Ramah, and this is where Rav Horowitz told me that he was coming from this Ramah. Again, we're not going to be able to fully discuss that Shiloh, to get to the bottom line of that Shiloh, but just to give a bit more of a picture. So we mentioned, let me remind you again, we said in Simen Shin Lamed Aleph Sivvav, in the name of the Shulchan Aruch, that even for Bris Milah, which could be a Shiloh of Kares, you're not allowed to ask a guy to go and to bring you, or to do something which is Deraisa, only Derabonah will you be allowed to ask a guy to do it. The Ramah says here, Yesh Oimrim, some say, Demutah Loima Leinu Yud Lahadik Loin Ner Lesuda Shabbos. You're allowed to ask a non-Jew to put on the light for you for your Shabbos Suda. Mishum Nisrele, the Mutter Amir Lein Yehudi, Afilo, Bemalocho, Gimura, Bemokoi Mitzvah. This is the Ran who quotes the Bala Itter, so this is known as the famous Shittas Bala Itter as far as Amir Lakum is concerned. The Bala Itter is of the opinion that if there is a mitzvah involved, you are allowed to go and you're allowed to ask a non-Jewish person to do even a malacha de oiraisa because it's a mitzvah. In for tzorech of a mitzvah, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do a malacha de oiraisa. That is what the Baal Eitah says. Shapizen, and therefore the Ramos says, Shapizen, Noagu Rabim, Lahokim, Bidava, Letzavas, and Yudel, Hadik, Neres, Sudas, Letzach, Sudo, Befrat, Besudas, Chasno, Imila. And that is what people are soimech on, to ask a non-Jew to light Neres for Sudo, for Chasno, for Mila. Vein, Moichim, Yodam, and nobody seems to say anything. However, says the Ramo, V'yesh le'achmir b'mokum she'en tzorech godot. You should be machmir where there's no tzorech godot, ha'roi v'apoyskim cholkel ha'svarazu, b'ayin ha'man simen shin zayin. Sifei. That's another halacha. But the Ramo says, he brings this, even though he doesn't paskin it l'halacha, but it's brought, and if it's brought in the Ramo, and it's a shita in the Rishonim, so it's always something that you can keep in the back of your mind when you're stuck with a more complicated shaila of asking a guy to do a malacha d'araisa for you. You might be able to be soimech on this Bala Itter, as Rav Horat said to me at the time, this was one of the snifim that he used the hokel when he said that my wife could take the taxi back, is that you can ask a guy to do malacha for you, even a deiraisa, where there is a problem of, where there's a mitzvah, because we have problems later, but where there's a mitzvah. So you have over here, at least one day, even though the Ramah himself also says, you should be machmir unless there is a tzorech godol. However, we have a Bala Itter that says that you would be allowed to do it. Okay? Now, Mishabru Simen Reish Ayin Vov Siv Chav Dalit. He says, Mamakum Shein Tzorech Godol. He brings the Shlah is machmir even mitzorech godot. So we have the shlo, which is even more machmir than the Ramah says. The Ramah says, b'mokum tzorech godot, and the shlo was machmir to say, imokum tzorech godot, and therefore he says, that's why people used to sit in the darkness, come Matzei Shabbos time, achasna tzul, they say, baruch hu, they wouldn't ask at all to do it. However, he does mention that Bein HaShemoshes will be different. So we have over here, beyond what the Ramah says, you should be, unless it's a Tzorech Godol, you should be Machmir. We have a Mishabura that brings a Shlah that says, even Tzorech Godol, you should be Machmir. Pardon? This was talking about direct asking. This is still, we've not even gotten to Remez yet. This is talking about you've asked directly. Right? And similarly, we'll have over here in Simon Shin Zayin Sifhei, Yisav Dova Shein HaMalach Ve'en Asa Asas V'Shaz HaMishum Shavus, something which is not the Oiraisa, is only also the Rabbonon, then you're allowed to tell a guy to do it on Shabbos, as long as you're either Miktsas Choyli, we'll speak about later, you know, somebody being a little ill, you need Tzorech Harvei, Mipnei Mitzvah, and what do you do, etc., etc. So again, it's mashma over there that the Shulchan Aruch, again, is passing, like we said in Shin Lamed Vav, that you're not allowed to do a melacha de'oiraisa, only a melacha de'rabbonon would you be allowed to ask somebody to do. So again, but as we said, so for melacha de'oraisa, it's really also to ask a guy to do it. Ramah says, "B'makom tzorech godol, you could be makel on it." The Mishnah Berurah seems to be going that even makom tzorech godol, he seems to passing like the shlo because he doesn't bring anybody that argues with the shlo. So the Mishnah Berurah seems saying even makom tzorech godol, but it's kedai to know in the back of our mind that Be'etzim most poskim says osur, but you have a Bala Itter that says it's mutter. Now we get to Malachad Rabbonon. Case of Malachad Rabbonon. So we just mentioned to you over here again. I'll read it to you one more time. Shin Zayin Sifhei, that something which is ena malacha ve'ena asa asas v'shavas mishum shavus. Someone says only mid Rabbonon, then you're allowed to ask a guy to do it on Shabbos. If you have either Miktsas Choyli, somebody who's a little unwell, or Tzorech Harbei, or you have a mitzvah. The case or example that he gives is you're allowed to ask a guy to go up and get a shofar to blow tkiyas mitzvah, which is interesting because on Shabbos there won't be a din of tkiyas mitzvah. So how can you ask a guy to go up on a tree to get your shofar, because even if he brings it down, what are you going to do with it? We don't blow on Shabbos. Okay? Or to bring maim de'achot shalei ever lichot fire mitzvah. So Mishabura here gives you a few important rules. Number one, in Sifkotn Chav Aleph, he says, why do we have to say Miktas Choyli? He says, the Mishnah Berurah, you know why we say Miktas Choyli, the person's a little bit ill? Because if the person is properly ill, then even a Yid would be allowed to do at least a Malach HaDrabonon. Well, you have Sakonas Eber, or you know, if you have a Choyli Kol Gufay, etc. But Miktas Choyli, you wouldn't really be allowed to be maker for a Yid to do it, but you're allowed to ask a guy to do it. That's number one. And then he says, very important, which is what I mentioned to you before, Vida, She'ein medamin dover ledover be'ini nashusin. You can start making comparisons. If this is allowed, that's allowed. Ve'ein l'cha bom l'harte ela ma'sha'omru chachomim. You can only be matur chachazal allowed you, because the gabem ila lo yitirushvus, tamir lein yudimokam alocha deraisa. Like we see in Shin Lam al Sivov, which we read before. Ve'gab l'kech ba'yis be'eretz Yisrael, mutter, like we see in Simon. He changes it around. Okay, but we see in Simon Shin Vav. If you wanted to buy a house in Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to ask a guy to help you buy it if you can only buy it on Shabbos, and you're allowed to ask a guy to do it for you on Shabbos. Aye, for Mila, you're not allowed to ask the guy to do something for you. If it's a deraisa, and for Shabbos, you are allowed to, and for buying a house in Eretz Yisrael, why this one yes and this one not? Okay, you can discuss why. But what the Mishnah Berurah brings from it is that you cannot say just because A is mutter, B is mutter, or because A is osur, B is osur. You have to ask your shailas. What Chazal were matter, they were matter. What Chazal were not matter, they were not matter. And you can't make comparisons just like that. That's point number one. Point number two, and this is important to know also, is he says, Tzorech Harbe, the Mogen Avram says, when there's a Hefzid Godel, Avabalav Ocha, you cannot be Mekel. So what we see over here, that this is important to know also, coming back to the Shaila of asking the guy to turn off the boiler, if the boiler bursts, you'll have Hefzid Godel. To fix a boiler, I'm not sure what it will cost to fix a boiler, but I'm sure it's not cheap. And therefore, if you're worried that by keeping on the boiler throughout the entire Shabbos, you're going to bust your boiler, it's going to burst. I think at the time, the reason that boiler burst in the deer, the first deer that we had, was the thermostat was broken. So as the thermostat was broken, it would boil up the water, but it would keep boiling and boiling and boiling. Most things have a thermostat so that when you get to boil, they'll stop working, because otherwise you're not going to end up breaking all these sorts of things. Why does your kettle stop once it stops boiling? Because it has a thermostat. You know, why doesn't your oven burn all your food? Because it has a thermostat. Something that doesn't have a thermostat is broken already a little bit, and then it'll break entirely. So I think if we had left on the boiler a whole Shabbos, I think in another instance I did leave it on a whole Shabbos, okay, it'll cost you on electricity, it's an expensive thing to keep on an entire Shabbos. However, Shabbos is Shabbos. As long as you know your boiler's not going to break. But if you have a suffix, if your boiler's going to break, you have a hefzer gadol, your baldir, or you yourself are going to have to pay for fixing that boiler, then the halacha is, b'makom hefzer gadol, you will be able to turn off, you'll be able to ask a guy to turn off that. Because again, turning off is kibui, is only extinguishing. It's not putting something on. And extinguishing, in many instances, is only a drabonon, because a malach shein tzicha legufa, which is something which you can't discuss now, because the time doesn't allow for it. And therefore, just take my word for it, extinguishing in most instances is a drabonon, so they have asking a guy to do that would be mutter. A similar instance that we had in our house once was that one of my children turned on the hot water instead of the cold water, and it was a few hours before Shabbos was out. It was in the summer, there's probably 3-4 hours before Matzah Shabbos. So you can go to a guy, you can ask a guy to turn off the water. Because you don't have to keep water running now for 4 hours. But hot water is going to keep running for 4 hours? What a waste of water. Right?
A waste of heat.
And a waste of heat as well. Yeah? You're paying the money on the heat. You're paying 4 hours worth of keeping the water hot. And the water is going literally straight from the tap into the drain. A waste. Mama's right. And it's also dangerous. Your kids could come inside, could touch the water, could burn themselves. Boiling hot water. So you go next door and you say to the guy, excuse me, my child turned on the hot water, I cannot turn it off. It's an Issur D'Rabbanan. There's a Mokim Tzorich over here because it's dangerous and there's a Hefsid. You go and you ask a guy. The last point that I'll mention over here as well is he brings the Mishabosif Kotten Chav Dalet, also in Shin Zayin. He says that... Was that one? Amira la Amira. Maybe I got the wrong Mishabur over here. Further down. He brings Imam al-Hadarai, so he brings over here that the it's only a Dasi Chidor, because the Rif, the Rosh, and the Rambam and Kamar Shoinim argue and say that Vaidarai say you have a problem. And then it says, and what we say, Amir Leini Yudi Shvus, is Afilim Oim Leini Yehudi. Shiyoim Leini Yehudi Achel Asro Yisrael Malacha is also Osir. That's already a discussion when it comes to post and other things. If you asked a guy and the guy asked another guy, that's known as Amir Lamira, which is a discussion for another time. Mitzvah Shem will hopefully get another chance to discuss it. Wish you all a very good day.
Was the Shviga not allowed?
We didn't finish that. But the bottom line with the Shviga not allowed will be part of next year. But the reason was that for